Ladies and gentlemen, they should not be playing baseball in the rain. For Jay Farrar and Dave Kaufman, that's the Kaufman Show. Have a good night, everybody.
What?
Oh, is that? Oh, we're supposed to do more than that?
Yeah, I,
oh, okay.
I hope so.
Well, in that case, welcome to another week of the Kaufman Show.
Drove all the way to Westmount, damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Ten minutes
in the car.
You sit your ass right back down there, because we're doing a show, buddy.
Deal. How are you, Jay?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It was Dave's birthday on Saturday. I'm telling the whole world.
I see you are.
Happy birthday, man.
You know, I don't have my birthday up on Facebook like most people.
He is oldest man in Westmount. He is 37 years old. No, he's not. How old are you?
I'm 32.
32.
I am 32 years
old. Yeah, you're getting there, kid.
I am, eh?
Just wait.
One day I'll
just
be as old.
Just gets worse from here, my friend.
I'll be as old and as wise as you.
Impossible.
Really?
You'll never be as old as me.
Okay. You're right. Mm. And I'll take it.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful weekend. And it started, what, last Tuesday when you took me out for drinks?
We went out for drinks?
We did.
Oh, okay, good.
You don't remember?
Good party then,
I
huh?
remember. That was, it was very touching for you.
I hope I remember. I drove you home.
No, that was a lot of fun, and it was nice to see you in a social setting.
Yeah, Dave and I don't hang out much outside of the studio, not because I don't like Dave. It's just our schedules don't really match. So,
funnily, yeah. What, we're both night owls. You'd think that there would be more.
We're both night owls, but unfortunately, my job takes place at night as well.
That's it.
Both of them do. So, yeah.
And
fun to be out.
Which leaves less fun for the daytime. But yeah, it was great to see you in a bar. And it was great to see you in a bar where you didn't have to work. I know it took a little bit of coaxing for you to actually sit, but it was.
A little bit of what?
Coaxing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Convincing.
Convincing, yes.
Prodding.
Yeah. Okay. You know what's funny? Whenever I'm in a bar, mm-hmm. I get up sometimes and I just stand there and I look around because I'm thinking that I'm it just
how
it's
could
natural.
I manage this place better?
Yeah, what could I do? and then I realize, oh geez, yeah, dude, you're not working right now.
Do you have the same thing when you're listening to the radio?
When I listen to the radio, yeah. I often scream at the radio. You know, yeah. Usually it's more something like, you know, who really cares that you're saying this right? Nobody will ever care. What you're saying right now. So, and I'm sure people do the same thing to me, you know? Everybody thinks they're a radio host.
To both of us all show long. People sit there screaming at their radios.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
If they want to call in and scream at us, we'll allow them.
Please do.
We won't...
I like being yelled at.
We won't be all disrespectful. I won't cut you off by going, I'm speaking now.
Right.
You know, there'll be none of that...
Like Mitt Romney.
Like Mitt Romney.
Right.
Wow, that was rude.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, come on.
It's good.
I wouldn't talk to my...
Obama wasn't exactly not rude either, you know? He's calling him out in the middle of his speech and...
Well, I'm sorry, Jay, but if you're going to sit here and tell me that the sky is orange when it's not, then I think there's nothing wrong with calling you on it. And in the midst of calling, oh, I'm speaking now. It's so rude. It's infuriatingly rude.
Sounds like one of my teachers.
It makes all the points of the argument or whatever argument was trying to be made are totally lost.
Well,
at least for me.
Well, they're both lying all the time anyway. Who cares?
Well, it was a mess tonight. Yeah. It was
both liars.
It was weird. It was the, tonight was one of those brain overload moments. And for all of you that are on Twitter, I'm sure you'd agree the tweets were flying in fast and furious tonight.
Yes, they were.
Between the baseball game, the debate, and I'll say to a lesser extent, at least on my feed, the football game.
Yeah.
Which nary a mention. I mean, maybe a bit from Matt Casavant, who's a massive Bears fan. But other than that, it's all about who you follow, right?
It's all about who you follow. That's exactly it.
If you followed my Twitter feed over the last three presidential debates, you'd think that it's over. Foregone conclusion, Obama landslide.
Right.
We know it doesn't work that way. I just choose to follow mainly people who politically lean to the left.
My main focus, of course, during all of these debates are the yellow and green line graphs at the bottom of the screen.
I can't do it. I watch it on PBS.
I can't stop watching them.
No,
I find
it.
Them hilarious. And it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life, first of all. Because if you're an undecided voter, it should just say stupid people. If you don't know what the difference between these two men are, it means you don't know how to read or you really aren't with us, you know, in a sane kind of way.
But what about people who are of the conviction that you can't tie yourself to one party, that you have to be able to be that free agent?
Well, yeah, but there are. There's people like me who don't. I don't tie myself to party. I don't tie myself to any party in particular because I have my own set of beliefs. But there are, in the states, it's like undecided. They put the kind of pressure on an undecided voter as if, you know, you have to be on somebody's side. Or you have to be nuts if you're an undecided voter. If you don't vote, you've got to be crazy.
Well, undecided doesn't mean non-voting.
No, I know, but it means the fear of not voting. Because that's why they put so much emphasis on these undecided voters, because it's like it's so taboo that you should be an undecided voter.
Well, it's because you know that 45% of the population is for sure going to go out and vote red, and you know that 45% of the population is for sure going to go out and vote blue.
Right.
So you've got to work on that.
It's the middle ground, right. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, the people, the undecided voters who say, screw it, I'm not voting for any of these two guys, those are the people I respect. It's the ones, these idiots that you see on CNN, and they're talking about, well, I like how Romney says this, and I don't like how Obama says that, but I do like what he's, I mean, which means that they're still considering either two, which means they have no idea what each platform is.
Do yourself a favor and don't watch this on CNN. Don't. It saves you so much time and energy.
The same thing on the other channels.
No, on PBS, it's
good.
Green. And the same thing with the New York Times .com had a feed of the debate running.
Great.
And it was just a screen. There was no...
I like the green and yellow lines, though. It's so much fodder for jokes and good tweets.
I found that the content given by both speakers tonight was pretty good fodder as well.
Yes.
And I will say I'm happy because in the first debate, Big Bird was threatened with, let's call it what it is, political assassination. And in the second debate, Governor Romney accused President Obama of not increasing oil productivity in the states because they didn't drill on American land because it would have killed 20 to 25 birds.
Mm.
Today was a good day. Because
for birds.
Larry Bird is safe tonight.
Oh, good.
I was so afraid that Mitt Romney was going to do something and screw up his chances in Indiana. But the hick from French Lick lives on. And even more importantly, there was a ball game tonight.
What?
Yeah. Here are the highlights.
Up there swinging. He's had two out of three, a single and a double, and Billy Cox is swinging him right on the third base line. One out, last of the ninth, back of pitches. Bobby Thompson takes a strike call on the inside corner. Bobby hitting at 292. He's had a single and a double, and he drove in the Giants' first run with a long fly to center. Brooklyn leads at 4-2. Hightown down the line at third, not taking any chances. Lockton without too big of a lead at second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Franco throws. There's a long shot. I got to be in the lead. The Giants won the pennant. 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the very back of the left field stand. The Giants won the pennant, and they're going crazy. They're going crazy.
As true as it was in 1951, the Giants have won the pennant. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm with Jay Farrar, and this is The Kaufman Show. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you for the next couple of minutes, maybe longer. We'll open up the phone lines, 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546 if you're calling from out of town. One of the great pleasures that we have on this wonderful soapbox on which we stand, of which we're, Jay and I are both so happy to be able to be with you guys every Monday night. And good week to know that we were going to be here on Monday night, huh?
Thrilled. Happy.
One of the great things that we get to do here is complain.
Especially me.
Something bothers us. We can just stand up here on our soapbox and tell you all about it.
And there's nothing anybody can do about it.
You know, all the people driving in their cars right now, listening to TSN 690, everybody at home on their apps around the world, everybody that listens on the kaufmanshow.podbean.com gets to hear our griping for posterity. And tonight, Jay has decided that he wants to tackle a certain subject in particular.
Okay.
It's not baseball. It's not the debates. We'll get back to that in a couple of minutes. But this is very important.
Yeah. It's so not important, but it's good. I'm going to make it important. Listen to me, everybody, very clearly. I don't know what this trending item is on Facebook where people are posting this. You are hereby notified that you are strictly prohibited from disclosing, copying, distributing, disseminating, or taking any other action against me. They're talking about using their own photos on a public domain and telling everybody, and even quoting legal articles and laws. Listen, dummies, and a lot of you are my friends. I love you. A lot of you are my friends, but you're stupid. You're stupid because if you don't want anybody sharing your photos or anything publicly, well, then stop publicly sharing your photos. It's very, very simple, you dummy. And then you've got a disclaimer. That's the best part, is that I'm just letting everybody, as if all like the higher above, all the people who are involved in stealing your photos of your stupid kittens that nobody ever wants to see, or your ugly babies, as if there's some guy out there going, oh geez, I've really, really got to get this. I got to photocopy this and show the entire world a picture of this guy's meal that he had last night, his lobster meal and his dumb kittens and his ugly babies. And you're warning him as if you're going to take legal action for showing his stupid baby. I'm done.
That was Jay Farrar, co-host on the Kaufman Show.
And they're my friends, but they're dummies. I don't give a... Sorry, I almost swore.
You don't give a darn.
I don't give a darn.
You don't give one Facebook stalk.
Yeah.
Jay?
Yeah.
Take a breath.
Sorry about that. It's just, it drives...
I know it does.
It drives me nuts.
I know it does. I can
it's
see
so
it.
Stupid.
I can see it in your eyes, and I think the people can hear the emotion in your voice. And whatever the hell that was. But I think that you have to understand, like you said, people sometimes don't use their brains. And perhaps people got scared recently seeing all these new Facebook scares, where people's public whatever messages were read. I think people are scared.
And
I think
everybody's freaked out because their booty calls are going to be on Facebook.
Right.
That's the bottom line. That's what it is. So they're throwing up this garbage as if the people in charge are going to say, oh, boy, don't mess with Bobby. You know, we don't want to see his booty calls that he gave to the fat chick that he knew in high school.
Facebook doesn't care. That's one thing you need
to understand.
Of course
they don't care.
Facebook doesn't care. Facebook really doesn't care. Facebook is trying to figure out a way to monetize this more and more and more every day. And so many of you are, and this is something that I've worked on, Jay. I've tried, since I developed more of a focus for this show, I've tried to make the Facebook page and my page basically just about the show.
Right.
And once in a while, I'll throw in some pictures from here or there or everywhere, but you don't have the I'm going to the store on Facebook updates anymore.
No, your stupid little posters with cute little God quotes on them. Who cares? Nobody cares.
But I don't think people are. I think people are afraid that their pictures, that their Facebook past may one day come back to haunt them. And I look at things
There's
like that.
There's a delete button too.
There is.
Yeah.
There is. But that's scary too. What about all your friends?
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, come on, man. How many Facebook friends do you have?
I'm not. You know, I've got a lot of things that I've put up sometimes that I'm not very proud of. But I don't care. It's me. That's what it is. You know. I mean, no, and you know what? And that's the problem with people these days. They're so self-important. They think everything they do may change the universe in some way. Really? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about what you ate yesterday. Nobody cares about pictures of your kittens, which look like every single other kitten, or your newborn baby, which looks like every other. And nobody cares about your relationship status either.
Just read
congratulations,
something about that,
you got married. You'll be over in 6 months anyway.
Just read something about that, actually.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody that I admire who had said, the sooner that you stop caring what other people think of what you do, the better off you'll be. And I think that's a really important thing to learn.
Yeah. What you do or what you, but you know, so
you're
going
to be open. No, there's nothing wrong with being open to criticism.
Yeah.
But you have to know how to take it.
Exactly.
I think that's important.
I'm just calming down.
Oh, are you?
It's really hot in here.
I feel like I just wrote a comment out on Facebook and Jay just clicked like.
I like.
Okay. I think we should go to the phones, Jimmy. Let's go to Andrew.
Somebody's mad. It's the dude that just put up that thing on Facebook.
I don't think it is. I think we're on this guy's good side. It's Andrew in Montebello. Good evening, Chef. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Jay.
Yeah.
Buddy, this is going to really sound really, really funny, the whole story I want to tell you guys. But before I start, take a pill and it'll be okay.
He's all right. He's all right.
I know, but okay. And then I just love to hear him when he gets. Unfortunately, I didn't see him the day that this story happened to me. It's not really a story. Friday afternoon, I was in Montreal during a huge downpour with a missus. She was in doing a whole bunch of tests for a certain job possibility that's coming up and really important stuff. And I saw in her face when she came out that it was a tough afternoon for her. I said, well, okay, well, honey, we're just going to find a place that we can go and sit back, kick back, have a quick little beer. I had made plans for a dinner at a different establishment. So we walk into this place, and for first of all, the first thing is that I was just so brought back. How many people were in the place at the time of day? It was like 4:30 in the afternoon. The place was jam-packed. And the second thing was it was the 40-something-year-old woman with black hair, prim and proper individual, came in, who greeted us, gave us a table for two, smack dab in the middle of the place, and the place is buzzing. There's people all over the place. I didn't get a chance to go upstairs. I don't even know what it looks like, but I saw hundreds of people going up and down from the place the whole time. Nonetheless, the name of the place is McLean's Pub.
Sorry. Name that place again. What was it?
McLean's on Peel.
Right. Oh, I've heard of that place.
Unfortunately, not unfortunately, I asked the waitress, the owner, or not the owner, but the manager, is Jay in? And she says, no, he's not in yet. But she, at the same time, she's speaking to me in English and in French. Completely beautiful bilingual, because my girlfriend happens to be French, and I think she maybe just said one word when we were coming in, and that was caught on right away, and I'm speaking English, and then to my left, there's a table of four young lads with this huge tower of beer with a fountain in the bottom, and I said, my God, if only that existed when I was 18 and 19 and 20 years old, how much time I would have saved walking around ordering beer. What an incredible invention. And then to my right, I've seen an individual who walks in who must be...
Hey, Chef.
Yeah.
We've all been to McLean's, man.
No, dude.
We're trying to do a radio show here.
How come you didn't wait around for me, man?
No, unfortunately, because we had to get out, but we decided we ate there. The food was incredible. The staff was incredible. All I'm trying to say, listen, is I don't get a chance to get in town very often. We're out here in the boonies. When we do, we try and support the people for the Team 690. And you guys have got an incredible place. Keep up the incredible work. It was just so much fun. It was like, okay, it was too busy to start out with. No, we just wanted to sit there as long as we possibly could. We had a great meal and finally eventually had to leave. Jay, you were just coming in for your shift at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
We just unfortunately couldn't stay because we had a long drive back and it was an incredibly long day. But it was just to tell you, buddy, it's a great place. Your staff, it was the gentleman to my right who walked in, who looked like he was 70 years old, he walked in like he owned the place. I swear to God, he was not in his chair more than 12 seconds, and his beverage was right next to him.
Chef, you're never going to have to order a drink in there again, man.
No, seriously.
I'm Jay Farrar, and I approve this message. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I wish I would have seen you, but
we had to leave early and stuff like that. And it was just so great to sit there and just feel the vibes, and we just
needed
to get back. And I honestly didn't think in an establishment like that, downtown Montreal, that you could walk in and feel, like I said, the gentleman to my right, who was 70 years old, he didn't wait 12 seconds, and his beverage was there with a peck on the cheek.
Wow.
That's what a hometown bar is supposed to be. And I honestly didn't think that existed in a metropolitan city like Montreal.
It exists, Chef. And I'll tell you, every time I've been in there, Jay has given me that peck on the cheek. And it's always made me feel like a man.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
Chef, thanks for the call, man. Have a great night.
Have fun, dude.
All right.
Thanks, man.
That commercial was brought to you by the chef in Montebello.
John, make sure you get that on DVD. I'm going to go play it for my bosses tomorrow.
Give Jay Ferrara a raise, ladies.
Yeah, hell yeah. Listen,
this is the Kaufman Show.
Let's talk
back
some
to
sports.
That would be nice. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Rob in Hunsick, and it says Quebec City franchise. Are you planning on opening a Tim Hortons in Quebec City, Rob?
Oh, believe me, I wish I had the money for it.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Not bad. What I wanted to know is this. How many fires can Gary Bettman put out, okay, for the Quebec franchise?
What do you mean?
Oh, he's already got enough problem with Phoenix. They're talking about expansion, okay, and should Quebec get a franchise, I'm wondering how many fires he's going to put out when players refuse to sign.
I think those days are long over. I think that we've hit a point where the average North American or European can see the bonuses to living in Quebec City. There are certain that the political climates of the early 90s that led Eric Lindros to pull whatever he pulled are long behind us right now.
Okay, but then you're going to have Seattle probably on the other end of the spectrum.
Sure.
So how long is it going to be before players decide, I think I'm going to go to the West Coast?
Well, I mean, but that exists today, right?
The great experiment is Winnipeg, isn't it? I mean, that is basically an experiment, and I'm sure Gary Bettman was seeing it that way, that this is an experiment. Let's see. If we know that Winnipeg can work, we know Quebec's going to work.
Jay, pull up the quote from April when I interviewed Bettman. I asked him, how did the Winnipeg experiment go? And he said, it's not an experiment. It's a success.
Right.
I think Quebec City's going to happen. I think Seattle should happen. Especially if they build
Quebec that arena. Should happen too. I would pick Quebec over Seattle.
Really?
I would.
No, but you're saying that as somebody who's a
completely
Quebec
biased. Right. Yeah. That's completely.
I mean, Rob, what do you think?
Right now,
which city has more money pouring out of it?
Right now, yeah. I think with the new building going in Seattle, I think Seattle would get it first before Quebec.
I think they probably should.
They would, because Bettman still has that state of mind, and I think in Seattle it will work. But he saw Atlanta collapse. He's seeing if Nashville wasn't putting out a good product on the ice, I doubt they'd have any kind of pull right now either.
Let's forget about what happened to their basketball team for a second, because anybody that listens to the show knows that the Sonics they were just screwed.
Right.
And I think even that aside, you can argue that Seattle's one of the best sports cities in North America. They absolutely.
With the NFL, absolutely, right now.
With college football, formerly the NBA. They have one of the nicest parks in Major League Baseball. It's a shame that their team stinks or they'd fill it more often. It's true. But, I mean, even that team had a much better second half than anybody thought. If you were a season ticket holder to the Seattle Mariners, you got to see two perfect games this season.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
One day you're going to see a guy come in with an ATS hat and jacket. That's Rob.
An ATF?
If this was the States, that would absolutely terrify him.
If the ATF were running into the bar, I'm sure we'd have a big problem.
No. ATS.
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 That's like Seattle.
No, that's like my former company.
Okay. ATS.
Yeah.
Okay, who is that?
That's Ann Lauer Transportation Services.
No.
Do you want to do a little plug on them?
Yeah,
like our last caller
We've been doing 3 hour. We've been doing infomercials here on the Kaufman Show. Will that be you, bud?
Yeah, that'll be me.
All right. Well, by. Ask for me. Say hi. And
usually are there Wednesdays.
Wednesdays, yeah, I'm there after 7.
Okay.
Come by, and there'll be a little bit of whiskey going into the lowest hole in your face easily.
Okay.
All right.
Enjoy.
All right, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. That's my show. All right. Do we have any more callers, Jimmy? No, there's nobody else left.
All right.
Sorry about that, Dave. I didn't pay anybody to do that.
Hey, man.
So please, please, producers, my bosses here at the station, do not email me tomorrow. I did not have anything to do with that.
If this keeps going, they're going to have to start paying us. I'm telling you that right now.
They're going to have to start paying us. Yeah. I'm pissing off one boss, but making the other one real happy.
That's right. I think that's how it should be.
Yeah.
So we're going to come back and...
talk some more sports.
Yeah, talk about more awesome things.
Thanks to
that we should all do.
What was that, Rob?
That was Robin Hunsick.
Rob. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for him for bringing back some sports and some sanity back to the Kauffman
ATS
Show.
ATS against the spread. We will be back on the Kauffman Show.
Our passengers were drunk and insane. Crash landed in a Louisiana swamp. Shot up all the zombies, but I come out on top. What's it all about? Guess it just affects my mood. Sitting in the dirt, feeling kind of hurt. But all I hear is doom and gloom. And all is darkness in my room. Through the light, your face I see. Baby, take a chance. Baby, won't you dance with me?
Welcome back to church. It's the Kauffman Show. I'm Dave. He's Jay.
She meant Jesus is up, right?
Jesus. See.
Jesus is up.
Hits the curveball.
Yeah.
He's very good. Yeah. Baseball's been very, very good to me.
Yeah, me too.
Chico Escuela, man. You remember that?
It's Tony Perez, wasn't it?
No, it was...
Chico Escuela?
It was Garrett Morris on Saturday Night Live.
No, but it was based on a real commercial that Tony Perez was doing in the 70s.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
No, I did not know that. Yeah. I remember his book.
It's because I was alive in the 70s.
Yeah, there you go. I'm showing my age. Chico Escuela's famous book, though. Bad Things About the Mets.
Yeah.
As much as I like the Mets, and I can prove it, I have their hat, which all of you at home can see right now
because
this is television. What gross.
Mets.
It's a Mets hat. Who cares?
Like Mets.
If I was wearing a Yankees hat, I'd understand that kind of scorn.
Gross.
Right.
Right.
And them I want to talk about. Them. Them Bronx.
Them Bronx.
Them Yanks.
The Bronx Bombers.
They kind of bombed this time around.
Yes, they did. Good.
Now, first of all, only franchise in professional sports that can make it to the Final Four and have their season be deemed a failure.
No, there's the Montreal Canadiens as well.
No, not true. Not
I think
true.
So. I think so. I think so. Maybe a second round loss and the season becomes a failure. Not to mention last year. I mean,
not
we won't
anymore.
Mention that.
The bar has been lowered so much.
And, yeah, I guess
and
so.
I'm happy that you brought up the Habs because that was kind of my point in all this. I feel like the Yankees are mirroring the Montreal Canadiens a bit right now.
Yeah.
I mean, both in the fact that the fan bases are buck nutty insane.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good comparable.
They have every, you know what? And I heard there were a lot of quotes coming from Yankee players saying, blaming the fans actually for their loss, putting too much pressure or what have you.
Well
guess what?
Fair.
Baseball doesn't have a salary cap. And these guys are being paid out of the wazoo, ridiculous amount of money. And, you know, this is not the late 90s anymore. They're not going to go around the league and try to find some guys like Tino Martinez and guys like that to fill in the spots, like Tim Raines. I mean, they're basically going to take their top players. They're going to
That guy was oh my God, where's his name? Well, they had Nunez, who was one of those guys.
Right.
And Jimmy, help me out. He hit 3 big home runs in the playoffs this year.
That's Raul Ibanez.
Thank you. $1.5 million salary, Raul Ibanez. He was that Tim Raines this time around.
Yes, he was, and he was the only one that did anything.
He was just called into service.
That's right. He did his job, too. He actually did his job.
Didn't Tim Raines catch the last out in 96? I've got visions of Tim Raines catching a ball in the outfield for the Yankees to win. I don't know if
yes,
it was the World
yes,
Series
and he slipped.
Or...
And he slipped.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, he slipped a little bit. He almost dropped it.
That I've blocked out of my mind.
Yeah. You don't want to see Tim Raines slipping. But you know what? You see how this town pretty much, you know, tar and feathered Scott Gomez on his $8 million salary or
absolutely,
whatever the hell it is. Could you imagine Alex Rodriguez at what, 30 million, yep. whatever, 30 million plus a year? Think about that.
It's all relative.
It's all relative. You know, I don't blame them at all. You know, if you're going to pay, if they're going to be paying that kind of money, put the product on the field or get a salary cap and then make everything even.
I think my
bring
point,
back the Expos.
My that too. Yeah. My point in all this is that I think the Yankee mystique is kind of over. And we can compare it to a couple of things. Back to the Habs. When the Habs left the Bell Center, everything changed.
Right.
No real argument to that.
Left the Forum?
Yes.
Yeah.
And went to the Bell Center.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay.
My brain's still on infomercial mode.
That's
what I say.
Yeah.
The Yankees 2 years ago closed up shop at the house that Ruth built. And again, you know, they did win 95 games this season. But I feel like maybe the ghost didn't move over.
So are you?
I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not saying I believe in ghosts.
Are you saying that the Montreal Canadiens and New York Yankees are suffering from some sort of supernatural phenomena?
Yes, Jimmy.
The final out in 1996, Atlanta versus New York. It was a pop fly or as a pop out, foul territory to third base. I think it was Charlie Hayes, not Wade Boggs, that caught it.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Sorry, no, Wade Boggs was already on a horse, straddling a police officer. You remember that?
Yes, this is back in the days of horses and bayonets, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it was, yeah.
Yes, all the way back in 1996. I wonder what Tim Raines did on that team that I have. I picked, well, you're remembering him slipping, so there's obviously something
I think
going
it was,
on there.
I guess it must have been game four or something like that. I don't know what it was, but anyway, I remember him barely getting an important out.
Whatever it was, Wetland saved it. Yes, Jimmy?
No, Tim Raines did not play in game six, the deciding game. Between Atlanta
right.
and New York.
Okay, so it must have been earlier in the series.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Marquise Grissom caught the final out when the Atlanta Braves won the series.
He also had an incredible World Series that year.
Yes,
he was
did.
On fire that season.
He's awesome.
Hit well over 400 in the World Series, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And was stellar in center field.
Back to these
What
Yankees.
Were we talking about?
We were talking
oh,
about
yes.
the Yankees.
Ghosts.
Well, and so much more than that. The ghost of the field, right? I mean,
right.
the ghost of Derek Jeter right now in New York. That Jeter injury, I mean, I've never seen the air go out of a stadium like it did right there.
Right.
That was tough to watch as a baseball fan.
Mm.
And again, no love lost for the Yankees. Anybody who listens to this show knows that this was the first season of my lifetime where I had any kind of empathy for the Yanks. And it was simply because their catcher's from here, and then they made a deal for my favorite player. And you got to admit, watching Ichiro play on the Yankees was very exciting. It looked like Ichiro from 5 years ago.
Yeah, he was showing a lot of power.
And that magic dance he did. Boy, if they'd won that series, that would have been in the baseball lore forever.
Jeter's the heart and soul of the team. I mean, we kind of felt the same thing when Andre Markov went down. You know, he's pretty much the guy who's been there the longest.
Oh,
he's,
my God.
He's
Andre
seen the good
Markov
times and the bad.
Is not Derek Jeter.
No, but for he is.
No. No.
Who is? If it was Saku Koivu, but he's not there anymore. But when Markov got injured, people said, well, that's our all-star. That's
Sorry,
our guy.
No. Montreal Canadiens do not have a Derek Jeter. They don't.
Yeah, but
I understand what you're saying. No, I understand yeah. exactly what you're saying.
Right.
If you're
it was
going
like
to,
crap.
If you have to make the comparison and say that one guy on the Habs is like Jeter, I don't think Andre Markov is the leader off ice. That Derek Jeter.
The vibe that I got when he went down was like, it's over. The season is absolutely over. And this was in the first game or the second game where, and especially the second time where he heard his name, people were like, damn it. You know, it was a very, very discouraging thing that I saw. That was a vibe I got from people because he was our all-star. He was the guy.
Could be worse.
Could be worse. Could be Derek Jeter, apparently. Screw Derek Jeter. I'm glad he got hurt.
We could all be Cubs fans.
Yeah.
Round his bed, his friends had all gathered. They knew his time was short. And on his head, they put this bright blue cap from his all-time favorite sport. Told him it's late, it's getting dark in here, and I know it's time to go. But before I leave the lineup, boys, there's just one thing that I'd like to know. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? when the snow melts away. Do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you. The World Series is set. And I got to say, I think our next guest is quite excited about it. Those Detroit Tigers are heading to San Francisco to start off the World Series. You can blame Justin Verlander's horrid performance in the All-Star
game. We got
game.
Prince Fielder on the show?
No, Mike Ilitch.
Oh, okay.
It's huge, man, huge. Right. And the pizzas are on their way. Actually, no. Our next guest is getting blanked at the score. You can check out him on Twitter at Dustin Parks, an old friend of the Kaufman Show and of Balls the Baseball Show. Let's welcome him back, Dustin Parks. How are you, sir?
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I have to say I'm a little bit excited right now.
I have a feeling you might be. This is your team going to the World Series, huh?
Yeah. It's great. And I don't know, it's the whole Hollywood thing, overcoming great obstacles that got in their way through team unity and all that fun narrative stuff to just put a walloping on the St. Louis Cardinals tonight.
What's crazy, though, is that narrative really could have been spoken about for either of these teams, and that kind of was the big theme leading into today, was which one's going to keep this perfect record intact.
Yeah, definitely. Six wins in elimination games so far in the playoffs for the Giants. It's been really exciting and insanely unlikely sources. Barry Zito with a win, Ryan Vogelsong with two wins. The first three games they won in the series were those guys pitching, which is not really expected, especially when Matt Cain went and Tim Lincecum went, names that you expect to get results. Hadn't really done it for the Giants, and they're getting in unlikely sources.
Well, as I think Principal Skinner says, the times they are becoming quite different, eh?
Definitely. Oh, and Marco Scudero, too. I think we have to talk about him. He set a new National League Championship Series record with 14 hits over the seven games.
I feel like all of Toronto's having a conniption fit over that one.
You know what? He got a three-year deal from the Boston Red Sox when he left town here. So no hard feelings. I don't think Toronto was prepared to offer him that. So, yeah, no. But he's going to make a lot of money this offseason, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when he got taken out by Matt Holliday, I think the initial reaction, I'd imagine, first of all, you probably wanted to throw something at the television.
I was pretty reasonable. I thought it was a dirty slide, but I didn't think it was within the rules of the game. It was over the second base. He left a little bit early and he got a little bit of air before he hit him. But I think the main thing, it looks so ugly because Marco Scudero is like, I think he's listed as 5'10", but he's probably closer to like
5'10". Tough baseball. It's tough baseball. Yeah. It's good. No, I approve definitely. Of these actions.
Oh, Matt Holliday's a train. Like the rule.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah.
You don't want to see a guy who's like 6'4", 250, trolling into a guy who weighs 185 soaking wet. But, yeah, that's what happened, and I don't know, it's a nice little narrative, but it was probably pretty meaningless. Actually, during the interviews during the game and after the game, players were like, oh, I haven't really seen the video yet, and kind of dismissing it. Well, the broadcast and the television guys were freaking out about it and trying to make it sound as though they rallied behind this moment in time and all that nonsense.
Well, because you've got to look for those things, I think, especially when you're struggling to find narratives. And for some reason, not having narratives doesn't seem to be an option these days. It can't just be a game being played between two teams, right?
Well, I mean, I struggle with this just writing about baseball myself. I mean, there are stories out there that are interesting. I mean, look at Ryan Vogelsong. Ryan Vogelsong was out of Major League Baseball for 4 years. He pitched in Japan for three and then couldn't find a Major League job. Now he's winning. He's getting two wins in the National League Championship Series. He's probably a candidate right up there with Scudero for the NLCS MVP.
That's actually, yeah, you know what? And made you change your Twitter account name yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, it's been really fun. The San Francisco Giants have shown a lot of support. So the San Francisco Giants fans have shown a lot of support through social media. There was Rally Zito and Barry Zito pitched, and Rally Enchilada when Ryan Vogelsong pitched yesterday.
But I think that's a credit to all of Major League Baseball and all Major League Baseball fans. First of all, MLB has really embraced the MLB.TV and the digital side of sports, which much faster than any other of the big four, I'd say. And, yeah, I mean, we saw with the Nationals fans with Natitude, and we saw how crazy the A's fans were in the last month of the season and then leading up to the playoffs. I think it's a sign of the times. I think it's a great thing for baseball to have embraced this modern technology.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's not necessarily the most altruistic thing either. They're making a very, very nice penny off of their use of social media and also their advanced media use as well. MLB advanced media, I think they're just raking in the money. They've talked about going public just with that part of Major League Baseball, and it would be worth billions to owners.
I would love to know what facet of MLB is altruistic, actually. I'd like to find that one. Nope, not going to find it right now, that's for sure. Now, Dustin, do you think the Giants have a chance against Detroit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, a seven-game series, anything can happen. And it's foolish to try to predict anything. I mean, baseball's played, the regular season lasts 162 games, and that's for a reason. It takes that long to see true talent emerge. Over a seven-game series, you're not going to see true talent emerge. You're going to see a lot of randomization. And that doesn't mean that there won't be interesting matchups. That doesn't mean that Justin Verlander won't be amazing to watch or Matt Cain won't be great to watch. But, anything can happen. One bounce here, one bounce there, and an entire series can change.
Do you think that either of these teams have a mind to throw the first two games and see what happens?
Throw the first two games.
Well, look at the track record leading up to it, right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, if I was the Giants, I'd think go down 0-2. That's my sweet spot.
Yeah.
The rally. Yeah,
I find people have a tendency, especially the experts in doing their predictions, and that they're always starting every series from scratch when they're making their predictions. Well, Verlander is going to go up against this guy and what have you, and they're talking as if nothing has happened so far. Everybody tends to forget, especially in baseball, also a little bit in hockey, about momentum swings. Baseball is a game of momentum. It's a game of streaks. And when you're on a high, as the Giants are right now, it doesn't seem like anything can stop them. So people have a tendency not to really think about that.
I think the opposite, actually.
I think people overthink about that. I mean, streaks aren't really what we think they are. Most things we see, like over a five-game period, a player who hits above 40% of his typical output doesn't actually maintain that for the next game. If in fact he's more prone to decrease after that than increase.
Well, I'm talking more of the feeling in the locker room, more of the team spirit type thing, not necessarily the statistic itself, when you're riding a wave.
I kind of dismiss that as well. I don't really think there's much of a point in, I think a lot of emphasis put on team chemistry and all this, but it's not like other sports, right? Baseball is about a batter and a pitcher, a one-on-one moment. It doesn't matter how good you feel. It's whether you're ready to face a fastball or a two-seamer or a sinking fastball.
Well, look at the Rockies when, I guess it was 07, when they faced the Red Sox, right? They had how long was their layoff? I think it was 6 or 7 days between the LCS and the World Series, right?
Right. Now, yeah, you can pull out examples that fit both sides of that narrative.
You're right. 13% of all people know that you can use statistics, right?
No, I'm definitely in favor of using statistics, but I just don't think that you can use them to say, oh, they've got rest, so they're going to be better. Oh, they've got momentum, so they're going to be better.
No, but for me, I think, Dustin, the one thing that I would look at in this is that you go the entire season playing day in, day out. You get basically a day off every 10 if you're lucky, and that day you're traveling probably. So the last time that the Tigers went 5 days without playing a baseball game was before spring training started. Now, I don't know what they're going through right now. I don't know if they're playing simulated games every day or not. I'm not sure how that works, but...
Yeah, I think they've been playing with college teams, actually.
We know how well that worked out for Team Canada in their last tune-ups, right? No, I don't think that's... I don't know. I wonder if that... Well, I guess the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll be able to tell, but the team with the momentum that's been rolling through the playoffs with the and the team that's had 5 days off, you got to wonder if it's going to factor.
Yeah, I think that that stuff's the kind of stuff that we talk about, that we make up to put more emphasis on it. But when it comes down to game time, it doesn't matter at all.
Well, it gave us something to talk about here. What's your prediction for the series, Dustin?
Oh, come on. I don't make predictions, but I'm going to hope. And that's pretty much
that's
all you
fine.
Can
You're
do.
A Giants fan. It'd be weird if you said you thought Detroit was going to win anyway.
Exactly. So I'll hope that the San Francisco Giants, I'd like to see them win in 6 games so that they can win in front of the home crowd.
That makes perfect sense. We'll be paying attention to getting blanked and following you along the way on Twitter as well, sir. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Catch you soon.
Bye now.
There he goes, Dustin Parks, getting blanked at the score. This is the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar.
Giants in 5, they'll be riding a momentum.
Bold prediction. I'm going to go with Tigers in 7.
All right.
Because Cardinals in 7 worked out so well for me last year. Who is this year's David Freeze? Oh, Brandon Belt.
I think it was. I think it was. I think it was. Click, click, clicking, the fingernail clipper. Or was it the sound of laughter outside? Or the pat, pat, patting of the chambermaid's sip? I'm awake, I'm awake. Wide aware of checkout time. Out and down past.
À quoi je joue? Je joue de la guitare. À quoi je joue? Je joue de la guitare. La solitude parfois est immense, tout plutôt que d'être ce passant qui traverse le temps de temps en temps. Alors je pars à la dérive, mon lit est un navire, un atelier où je vais pour l'éternité. Voyage d'un instant.
Welcome back, it's the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. Here with you on TSN Radio 690 in Montreal, or on the old podcast machine. I think they call it a Walkman. TheKaufmanShow.podbean.com. Jay, I got some good news for you.
What's that?
Going to put you into service. Going to put you to work.
Oh, no.
Next Sunday night. Game 4 of the
Somebody
World
at the door downstairs again? Or I got to go get them?
Game 4 of the World Series is next Sunday, and we will be doing a post-game show Sunday evening. You'll have a little more Kaufman Show on your radio next week.
Awesome.
But baseball specific.
Great.
You know, we can't jump into politics. We can't jump into the new hip album.
It's not a Kaufman show. It's the baseball. It's a baseball. It's the World Series postgame show on TSN 690.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And we should
Cool. That's going to be fun.
Befitting that title.
Yeah. Why not?
Let's get it rock, man. I can't wait. I love talking baseball with you and you, Jay.
Who else were you talking? Oh, with the people.
With the people.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you're good at it too, but
I was. I got a little. I was in a better mood when you said, "LA, I loved talking baseball with you," and then you said, "And with you, Jay," and now I feel like a piece of crap again.
Oh, come on. Do you feel that rough today? I know we're a little rough around the edges right now. I'm blaming my birthday weekend. Okay, I had a real rough one this weekend. I'm holding on to the console for dear life.
I know why I'm in a crappy mood. I know exactly. Well,
I'm in a great mood. I'm just a little disorganized.
I'm always in a crappy mood, but today especially because I haven't been smoking or anything, so I can tell that that's getting me mad. So everything that comes onto Facebook is pissing me off, and I don't know why. Well, yeah, I got to calm down.
We're all very proud of you for your recent efforts to quit smoking.
Well, I've gone 3.5 hours, so that's not bad. That's a good start.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, normally, outside smoking the whole show.
Right.
You do it from remote. Jay and I do it from the street normally.
Yeah, I wish we did. It'd be a lot of fun.
No, I think it's pretty fun up here, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Can you imagine back in the day what an ashtray this room must have smelled like? This is the old Shome Studios.
Right.
So I would imagine that a few things were smoked in here.
What else did it smell like? Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know. I don't know if a lot of those drugs have smells, to be honest with you.
No.
But
no. Not in the 70s, anyway. A whole different kind of thing.
Oh, thank God there's no smoking in this room. It would be here at the end of the night after everybody's smoking all day long. Oh, it would be terrible.
I tell you what, it's hot enough in here. And you know, one of my pet peeves is, radio people, I can hear them and they're bitching about like the temperature of the studio is
all the
time.
Yeah, but we do it too. We do it too.
And and I'm like, wow, they're right, man. Yeah. It sucks in here.
Yeah. It's, last time we complained, oh yeah, we said it was like the surface of the sun, broadcasting up from the surface of the sun.
Right.
Which would be a hell of a remote to do.
I have a question for you.
Yes, Jay.
At the end of the game, you and I were both yelling at the screen.
This baseball game just
Yes, the baseball game.
Yes.
Do you think that the umpire should have stopped the game?
I do. I do. That's why I opened by saying that that game should not have been played in the rain.
Right.
And there is precedence for it. They set this rule a few years back that a Major League Baseball playoff game has to be finished in order for it to be official.
Right.
But a couple of years ago in Philadelphia, they played a World Series game. It got rained out. I think it was the eighth inning, and they came back and finished it the next day, and the Phillies won the World Series.
Right. And that's it, because that's it.
How much fun would it have been, Jay, if our entire show right now was in between the last out, the 26th and 27th outs of a baseball
game? Yeah, and then we time it perfectly, and then we get the last out. That's why I was yelling. I was yelling at the screen. You were laughing because I was telling the St. Louis hitters to take every pitch. Take every pitch they can. If they even think it's remotely out of the strike zone, take a pitch and try and get that game. So, eventually it'll become a torrential downpour. And then, have a game delay and then make
outs.
A 9-run, 2-out, 9-inning, 9-run comeback. And you never know. It's baseball. That's what makes it the greatest game is there's no time limit.
Can we have that conversation for a couple of minutes that baseball is the best?
Baseball is the best when it comes to that.
Nothing compares.
Yeah.
And I know that so many of our listeners prefer hockey. Love hockey. In their bones, in their blood.
Yes.
I don't know why you didn't get on to baseball when there was a team here. But it still got me.
Yeah.
I cannot let go. It is such a wonderful game to just wrap your head around. And the three hours that you're watching a compelling ball game takes you away like nothing else.
Right.
I love it. I love it.
And listen.
It's been such a pleasure to watch these playoffs, ascension of the Nationals notwithstanding. It's been just a great year to watch baseball.
I akin it to this. The hockey is a Bud Light. Baseball is a Guinness.
That's hear that, the hockey? Hear what Jay just called you,
no,
hockey?
No, everybody likes a smooth beer, which is not too much on your tongue, not too much detail.
Not filling at all.
It's very simple. It's straight to the point. It is what it is. Guinness
you're
is an
about,
acquired
you're
taste.
You're talking about regular season hockey now, right?
I'm talking about regular season
hockey.
Because
I'm pretty sure that once we hit the playoffs in hockey, it ups to at least a heart. maybe not to the Guinness levels.
No,
but I'm
generalizing a little bit. But I'm talking about the basic essence of the game, the rules, the way the game is played strategically and so on. Whereas baseball's Guinness. It's an acquired taste. A lot of people take a sip of Guinness and they go, bleh, because they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't get it. But after they have a few, and they think of it a little while longer, and they take a few more sips, and they think about it even more,
Funnily enough.
And they take it all in. All of a sudden, you don't want to drink anything else.
Funnily enough, if you follow Jay's rules and have a few Guinness while watching baseball, it'll make it even better, too.
Yes, and I believe the proper term is Guinness.
Guinness.
To have several Guinness.
Guinness.
Yeah.
Yes, I apologize. It's been a while since I've had several Guinness. Yeah.
And I love hockey. I think hockey is...
Which is pronounced Hawkeye.
Yeah, hockey is my, like, one. Maybe I could say it's my favorite sport, but I'll say baseball is the best sport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's like...
No, that's... I got that.
You know, Star Wars could be your favorite movie, but Lawrence of Arabia is the best movie.
You and Star Wars.
Well, Lawrence of Arabia is better.
You throw in Star Wars stuff like I throw in Simpsons stuff.
Yeah. It's nerdy.
It is. Mm. But it's us.
Yeah.
It's who we are. Warts and all on the Kaufman Show.
Yeah.
We like baseball and geeky things like the Simpsons and Star Wars. But just to be clear, everybody, it's me who likes the Simpsons and Jay who likes Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think the next time I go on vacation for something Springsteen related, who I like as well. You should do a Star Wars themed show.
I will never do that. I would never do that.
Our Simpsons spectacular was
an unbridled
success.
I'd rather infection in my eye than do that. That I would never do that.
You know how crappy a radio show the Jay infected eye special would be?
You know how crappy the last three Star Wars movies are? The worst crap I've ever seen.
If you're going to be a real geek about it, though, aren't those the first three Star Wars movies?
Dave. I don't know.
All right, Jimmy, play
chronologically, but not chronologically.
I don't know what this is, but we'll shout out to Conrad. This is for you, Conrad, in Côte Saint-Luc. Welcome. Thinking of you.
I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
That's what I want to find
out. I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell
that's
me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
money. That's it.
Who gets the money on
first? He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
That. Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to
who?
The contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
that's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Name on first base.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him. Now, let's
now, how did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Will you stay on third base and don't go off it?
All right, I don't even know.
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base?
Outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
second. Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He's just field.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show. That's for Conrad and Côte Saint-Luc. Give us a call sometime, Conrad. We miss you.
You don't knock.
Don't knock. Just walk on in.
The door.
Friends are there
to rest
to rest.
Heaven is
you
there.
Don't
knock.
Strange.
And we're back. Kaufman and Farrar here with you on Monday nights, TSN 690.
How long is this final segment?
Oh, I don't know. As long as we feel.
Okay.
We'll be out by 1:30. We'll be out within the next minutes. Why?
Dave was complaining.
Me?
While we were off the air.
Never.
That
I don't complain.
Not enough women call us.
I wasn't complaining.
In.
I just asked you, have we ever, because I noticed that we had somebody tweet at us.
Have we ever, you asked if we've ever had a woman call us here.
And you reminded me that yes, it has happened.
Well, how sad is that when I can actually remember the one?
Hey, Jimmy, phone's ringing.
You know, it's, wow, is it? It's kind of like, you know, everybody can identify that one black guy who's playing golf. You know, it's always Tiger Woods, you know? How sad is that when you can always identify the one person who's called us in?
All
right. It's not a chick, but anyway. All right. We'll take
it. You know,
anyway.
With talk like that, Farrar, we're never going to get a female caller.
Girls, they don't mind the word chick. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm a dude. She's a chick. There's nothing wrong with that.
We've got Mike and St. Leonard. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Nobody's calling now.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Very good. How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to touch on something Jay mentioned earlier about Facebook,
mm-hmm.
rant, which was hilarious.
Yes, it was.
By the way, all of my mentions here are protected by douchebag.com.
Right. Right. Oh, that would be about the only site that could. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. On a serious note, I remember seeing John Turner, the former prime minister, mention that social media is one of the biggest obstacles in getting young people into politics today. It haunts them. It haunts them. All the stupid things they've said and posted, it's almost like a clear path to automatically disqualify you from being able to go into any sort of public life without being harshly criticized for anything you've done from the time you were 12 years old.
Pretty impressive that those statements came from a man who's well into his 80s, eh?
Yeah, he's fairly sharp. I mean, I saw him, the interview of him, and there was some other stuff that I read from an old McLean's magazine that he only wanted printed after Pierre Trudeau had passed on.
Huh.
And some candid stuff. And, man, you know, it's all in Canada, it's really weird. After they leave office, they suddenly even become smarter. Like, they have the Jimmy Carter syndrome a
That's
little
right.
Bit.
Oh, you know what? Paul Martin, for me, is the best example of that, who seemed like such a loser in office.
Exactly. And then I see him on the George Trumbull show. I'm like, where was this guy?
Yeah. You know what the problem is? And this happens a lot. You see it with Bill Clinton now, too.
Yeah.
The exactly. way that these guys, the good ones, all of them, all of their hearts are in the right place, right? Like, you don't get into that without seriously wanting to do good. The thing is, in order to get elected, you have to say a bunch of things that you don't necessarily mean. In order to, like Jay and I were talking about undecideds before, you have to pander to that vote. So for Mitt Romney, it meant moving more to the right than he was when he was in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
With Barack Obama, it's, you know, basically doing the opposite of everything that he came in on and promised to do.
But you know what? It's a vicious circle, because what happens is you get these two guys up there and they're bullshitting. That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do for a living. That's exactly what they're doing. But when a bit of humanity comes out, mm-hmm. whether it's negative or positive for whatever candidate, the media jumps all over it. His tie was crooked.
His America flag pin.
Yeah, he
wasn't
winked.
Big enough.
Yeah, he winked. He looked. Do you know why? Because as much as the people are responsible for making these bad candidates, they're also responsible. They also have a say in whenever there is some humanity that comes out of these guys, they don't like it. Yeah. They don't like it. It's usually a criticism.
No, but again, like let's go back to the. Once they're out of office, that's when they realize that they have a hell of a lot more power than they ever did in office.
That's right.
So, and again, I don't think anybody's a better example of this than Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton has done more out of the presidency than he was ever able to in. And I guarantee you, whether it's two terms, like it damn well better be, because he can't lose to some secret 5-point plan that's invisible and doesn't exist. But let's say he does, okay? Let's say that Tag Romney's voting machines in Ohio swing everything the wrong way. And in a month's time, we're sitting here and we're talking about President Mitt Romney. I mean, as terrifying as that sounds, you go watch at what Barack Obama, citizen, is going to be able to accomplish.
Yeah.
And the good that he'll be able to do for the world and the things that he'll be able to get done that you could never do in office. what Bill Clinton's doing in Africa right now, what George Bush is doing with Africa. And Bill Clinton's the first guy to say it, the W, like the younger Bush, has done more to save Africans from AIDS than any other president or all the other presidents put together.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, not that many, considering the fact that Reagan wouldn't even say the word.
Yeah, I mean, it is something. I mean, you know, when you look at it that way, basically all that the presidency is a foundation for what you can do for the rest of your life.
Well,
once you're in there, you know.
Well, it's so divisive right now, Mike. Yeah. That's what's killing it. It's that, you know, anything that President Obama said he wanted to get done, he was blocked at Congress.
Well, I had this conversation with another person. I'll let you comment on it as well too. If he's honest and he looks himself in the mirror, Obama does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love him to death. But the fact is, if he's really honest with himself, the question he would have to ask himself is, my presidency, just the fact me as a person, as a black man, as a first African man, was that enough of a stumbling block and a divisive force in this country to put us down the wrong path?
See, now, if I'm Barack Obama and I'm looking at myself in the mirror every day, I'm having a lot of trouble getting over the fact that I have a hit list and that I'm sending drones to kill people.
And that my hair is a lot grayer than it was when I started my presidency.
Hey, Romney's hair is a lot grayer now than it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, it's because he forgot to dye it.
But you know what? It's a question.
Didn't forget his fake tan, though, but he forgot to dye his hair.
Mitt's a special character, but, you know, he's the chief on the BS list, man. But, you know, it's going to be a close one.
They say it could be the closest, which is... it's wild. Have you checked out the 538 blog?
No, I haven't.
It's off of the New York Times website. Nate Silver is his name. He's a baseball guy. He's a total baseball sabermetric stat guy who's managed to. He did it for the last election as well, but he's got an incredible read on this stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, they talk about how there's four or five different polling companies. And one of them has, right now, Romney in the lead. I think by six, Gallup has Romney with a 6-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that changed after tonight. And if it's Republican polling, it'll probably be an 8-point lead.
Yeah.
But the point is, none of that matters. Much like in the province of Quebec, where it's about the ridings won and not the popular vote.
That's
in the
right.
States, it's about the Electoral College.
Exactly.
So, you know, the McCain-Obama election, I think, was separated by 3 or 4%. It was super tight.
Yeah.
But he schooled him. It was a landslide in the Electoral College.
Exactly.
That's where it matters.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tight right now.
It's going to be a tight race.
And you could very well have an example like we had a few years ago where one guy wins the popular vote and the other guy wins the election.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And I don't know if you also saw the math, if there's actually a tie, what would happen. What happens is Congress votes for the president and the Senate votes for the vice president. So you could actually have an electoral college tie. You could have the president being Romney and the vice president being Biden.
God bless America.
I mean, that would be the best ever.
President best. Biden and Vice President Romney. It wouldn't be.
Oh no, the reverse.
Oh,
Romney
okay.
would be president, and Biden would still be vice.
Oh, that's no fun.
Yeah,
that's not fun. I want to see. I want to see smiling Joe Biden as president, and Paul Ryan as the VP.
Oh,
I think that would make my day.
Oh, it's all bad. It's all bad.
Anyway, that's okay, Mike. We can complain about it together on Monday nights.
That's it. Have a good evening, guys.
Thank
go
you
Giants.
So much for the call.
You bet.
Yeah, go Giants. Indeed, it's you know. I say that. 20 minutes ago, I said to you, I think Detroit's going to win in 7. I just want to see a good series. And this is the one luxury I have of not having a baseball team. I can cheer for whoever the hell I want. And if I want to cheer for San Fran in game 1, I can do that. And then cheer for Detroit in game 2.
Yeah, I like watching baseball.
Yeah, it's pretty
That's
awesome.
About it. I don't really cheer for anybody. I don't really care. But
it's a lot easier to watch, too, when you're not personally vested. I mean, I can't imagine the stress of being a Cardinals fan.
Yeah,
over this last couple of weeks.
I mean, if you see something that you like, but I'm not the kind that just takes sides just for the sake of taking sides. You know, I don't like doing that.
No, you're not a. Fan of
it's
devices.
It's something really has to rile me up to be on somebody's side. You know, I don't believe in sectarianism.
Oh,
friend.
Look at you!
Yeah.
Wow,
the inclusionism,
the Muqtada al-Sadr of TSN 690.
Okay,
I don't know. I haven't heard the word sectarianism in a while.
Yeah.
Well, it made me think of Iraq. What can I say?
Yeah.
Who was the, what were you mentioning earlier?
I don't know. What was I mentioning?
Dave Zirin's tweet about the debate?
Yeah. What was it that Dave Zirin, he wrote, stop talking about the economy and talk about who's going to get Abu Nazir.
We won't get too much into it, but Homeland, wow. And I'll be caught up next week.
So yeah.
We can blow it for all of you next week.
It's not a bad show.
No.
I'm sure they'll screw it up somehow like they do every other show, but, you know.
Well, when they do the cross show with Glee, I think that's what's going to ruin it.
Yeah,
that'll be when they jump the show.
They got to stop these shows at like three seasons. Three or four at most.
The British model, right?
Right, exactly.
The British model.
Three seasons is enough.
It's like they don't try to make money. I don't understand it.
Because Boardwalk Empire is crap now.
Is
it's just crap.
I heard Stephen Root joined the cast.
Who?
The guy who played...
Whoever he is, he sucks because show sucks.
The guy who played Jimmy James in News Radio.
Oh, I see.
Bill Dauterive and Mr. Strickland from King of the Hill.
Okay.
The guy whose stapler gets taken in Office Space.
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
Okay.
That guy's a cool guy.
Yeah. Show sucks now.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, good. Don't bother.
I've never seen it.
It's not worth it.
Be honest.
Mad Men too. Mad Men is not good anymore.
Oh, but that.
It's not good.
No, I think it is.
Dave, it's not good.
I disagree.
Yeah, it's tired. It's tired.
You're
it's
tired,
repetitive.
Mr. Ferrari.
I am so tired. Let's get out of here. I love this town. Let's go. Cue it up.
Oh man,
it's enough.
Jay, why don't you tell everybody where to find you on Twitter?
I am at JPub Radio on Twitter.
That's right.
Yes.
And
follow me at JPub Radio.
And he's well worth the follow, too. He's as miserable as he sounds right now, he's actually a very funny, endearing, nice dude. Well, or I wouldn't ask him to do this show with me.
Thank you, Dave. That's
You're
very
welcome,
kind.
Buddy.
Okay, I feel better now.
And you can find me at The Kaufman Show.
Yes.
And
pretty simple.
It is. It is. Jimmy, aren't you joining Twitter one of these days? Weren't you forced to?
I believe MoCon is trying to force me to join in Twitter. MoCon, MoKHAN 19. That's his Twitter handle.
Oh, okay. I thought we were just spelling people's names now for the sake of it.
Well, Mo, because some people might spell it M-O. They have to realize it's M-O-E.
Right. That is very,
very important.
Take it
like
easy
J-Pub,
on...
it's J-A-Y, not just a letter J.
No, yeah, it's J-A-Y, Pub Radio. Pretty simple.
I'm not telling
Jimmy,
any of you.
Jimmy, get on Twitter, man. It's
you know
fun.
What, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of TSN 690 and thekaufmanshow.podbean.com, if you don't know how to spell The Kaufman Show, then don't bother finding me. It's all good.
Wow.
Just go find
what
someone
is
else.
That?
Just, you know what, go follow that guy with the two N's.
I wouldn't do that,
with
dude.
The
There's
two
a lot of people who don't know how to spell out there.
It's a joke, man.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I'm just saying. You just got rid of half your demographic.
Isn't Twitter the kind of thing where you search in the name and it comes up with like a predictive text for you?
Yes.
So I'll give you one little hint. It's Kaufman with a K.
Okay.
Anything else you can, it'll show up.
Okay.
Let's not get too obsessed over social media here, Jay.
No, I'll
we're
try
gonna
not
have to.
To
put out a disclaimer.
Yeah. Don't see.
I'm gonna pepper your wall with pictures of cats tonight after you go to sleep. You're gonna wake up in the morning and there's just gonna be thousands of cats,
ugly newborn babies that look like. Never mind. Okay,
I'll be nice. No, I'll. Will you?
Yeah.
Look like who?
Look like treasure trolls. That's what they look like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say they look like Yadi or Molina.
No. Why would I say something like that?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of a ball player.
Said babies, not crack babies.
Oh, no. That's highly inaccurate. You know, we had Dustin Parks on the phone. We were talking about the Giants. Did not get his opinion on the John Farrell situation.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Eh?
Which is, man.
It's more of a Blue Jays situation now, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Yeah.
And I've got to wonder.
Cito Gaston.
I hope not.
Can
go
get
back
Cito
to the well
Gaston
again.
Back, yeah.
I sure hope not. I hope that Manny Acta gets an interview. I hope that Tim Wallach gets an interview. He got one for Boston. Why shouldn't he get one for Toronto?
That would be cool. He knows how to live in Canada. He knows about Canadian things.
Obviously, John Farrell did not know how to live in Canada.
Yes, he knew. Just didn't know how to stay in Canada.
You know, how do you not, if you're a fan of that team, and the manager leaves to go to a team within your division... that's worse than yours and looks at it as the dream job, how do you not feel like you're irrelevant? Even the Orioles are relevant now.
It's not really a testament to the Blue Jays, but more of a testament to the Yankees.
To the Yankees.
Yeah.
That he goes to the Red Sox.
To the Red Sox, To the Red Sox. Well, see, I think of them as one and the same. Yeah, that's how bad it is.
The giant, it's
no, but it's just like somebody. Capital. But, again, if you want to compare it to the Canadians, just like a guy, who leaves, let's say Phoenix, and he says, wow, I'm going to my, it's a dream job, even though the Habs are much worse than the Coyotes are.
Yeah.
It's to wear the Boston Red Sox uniform and manage the Boston Red Sox.
Sure.
I'm sorry. It is an honor. Blue Jays have been around since 1978. Let's be honest here. Not going to go, the classic Blue Jays uniform that I get to wear in their incredibly beautiful stadium. You're not going to do that, right?
No, but, you sign a contract and you got to honor that. I think that it's
baseball. There's no honor in baseball.
It seems very obvious. And look, we can have a discussion about whether John Farrell was a good manager or not.
Yeah.
The guy was a pitcher, right? The guy was a major league pitcher.
Well, actually, never know how good of a manager he was. He wasn't there long enough for it to reflect.
He was there for two seasons. The first season, they went 500. The second season, they went 14 games under 500. He lost control of the clubhouse. He had a player go out onto the field with 2S Maricon written on his eye black.
Yeah.
And he watched the complete mental unraveling of his ace.
Yeah. To be fair, he also had a slew of injuries as well.
Fine, but that has nothing to do with the fact that Ricky Romero totally lost it. And if you are the manager of the Boston Red Sox, a team that's had major pitching troubles, or if you're Ben Cherington, the GM, hiring John
It just
Farrell,
goes to show how bad the last guy was, huh? Talk about losing control of your locker room.
Yeah, meanwhile, they threw the guy before that under the bus,
yeah,
Tito Francona, and now
this is baseball, man. This is
and
the
now
way it goes.
He's the manager of the Cleveland Indians.
Good.
So Terry Francona takes Manny Acta's job.
Mm-hmm.
John Farrell takes Bobby Valentine's job. And now let's hope that Manny Acta takes John Farrell's job. It's the circle of life, kids.
Circle of life.
Not a fun business to get into, baseball managing. Not exactly the safest of jobs. But you got to figure it's fun. I wonder if Jim Leland still smokes. You used to see the cigarette smoke wafting up out of the dugout at the Olympic Stadium.
You know what? He looks so high-strung, he probably does. He looks high-strung. I always found that he looks like a nervous guy. But apparently he's not, and, he's one of the greatest managers of all time.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can be a...
But I guess you have to be high-strung to be a great manager.
Yeah, well, that's it. The Bruce Bochy has impressed the hell out of me in these playoffs.
He's so calm. He's the exact opposite
of
Leland.
His facial expressions don't change, and yet, even tonight, we saw the Giants...
A statue.
The Giants scored a run in the bottom of the first by playing real National League small ball. The kind of thing you see in the eighth inning, not in the first inning. This guy is just in the zone. I think we're set up for a fantastic World Series. Got the Triple Crown winner. We've got the best pitcher in baseball. We've got another pitcher who threw a perfect game this year. I love the insight that Dustin was giving us earlier about Vogelsong, who pitched in Japan.
Yeah. A lot of big names, a lot of interesting characters. You got Prince Fielder out there. He's an interesting guy.
And you got the panda on the other side for that.
And Brian Johnson. You got all these guys. This is going to be interesting. Johnson.
Who's injured? Brian Wilson, who's injured? Beach Boy. Brian Johnson, ACDC.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Is that what it is?
I think so.
Well, he's interesting enough even when he's not playing, just watching him on the bench. So I like that. It's all that's what the baseball... that's what World Series is all about. That's what the playoffs is all about. It's the players. It's the players. It's the act. It's
I'm stoked, man.
It's the characters involved.
We're going to bring you as many post-game World Series shows as the station will allow. We are definitely doing Game 4. If the series goes longer, we'll have Game 5 for you on the Kauffman Show next Monday night. And, fingers crossed for a great World Series and a great end to the 2012 baseball season. And there's no hockey, so let's hope it goes 7. The more distractions, the better. Jay, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
It was a fun night.
It was a pleasure.
It was a fun night.
I went a little nuts tonight, I'm sorry.
That's all right, man. It's all good. It's all good. It's been fun. Our thanks to Dustin Parks. Follow him on Twitter. As Jimmy would say, D-U-S-T-I-N-P-A-R-K-E-S. There's a reason that I love this town. Thanks to Jimmy G on the board. Thanks to John Kay for helping us out. And thanks to Joel Plaskett.
In the early days, we all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davey and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know. Well, that sounds like...